prep sports now, where this week we're going to be very deliberate. We're going to think through what we're saying, because I'm Case Kiefer. Coming off, I survived going to Palo Verde, where apparently last week on the podcast said something I didn't even really mean.
Just say, slipped, I'm Case Kiefer and I was wrong.
Slipped out of my mouth, and I just got absolutely destroyed. And I know that's happened to you too in the past, Brewer. So we're gonna be really careful with what we say this week. Just I'm afraid to even go over to Palo Verde side of town now. I don't know what's gonna happen. There might be a bounty on my head, but if I do, I can tell you one thing: I would drive over there safely. I would make sure I'm thinking about the Zero Teen Fatalities program, because we got to remind you that this podcast is brought to you by the Zero Teen Fatalities program. Zero may not be a good number for a football team, but it's the only acceptable number when it comes to teen fatalities on Nevada's roads. Be a zero, always buckle up, watch out for pedestrians, and don't drive distracted.
This is a positive edition of Prep Sports Now. We're going to be positive today.
Yeah, if you made it this far, you deserve it.
And it's going to be tough on me to be positive on a few, breaking down a few of these games.
We're down to pretty few number of teams, though.
Six games in the large school division, two in the Division 1A, and with the exception of Spring Valley at Gorman and maybe, arguably, probably Cimarron at Palo Verde, I think you can make an argument for every team to win. Fair to say?
Yeah. Should I just become public enemy number one again and make a case for Cimarron?
I mean,
it is a tough spot for Palo. Cimarron's not bad. Palo's coming off a huge win that they put a lot of emotion into.
And they play, and this game is two rivals, and it's always closely contested. Back in the day, it used to be the old Northwest. It'd be who's going to win this year, Palo or Cimarron. Mm-hmm. And there was years, granted, long ago, where Cimarron was the team to beat.
Right. You'll have to stay tuned to get our picks, including mine, to see if I go against Palo Verde again. But I will say that all what you just brought me down memory lane talking about that, it reminded me that after Palo beat our review, Coach Darwin Ross was kind of talking about how, like, it's gone in stretches. There's always been that one team that Palo's kind of had to beat that's been their rival. It was Cimarron, then it was Cheyenne for a while, then maybe even Legacy for a year when Legacy won the division. Now it's our review.
Yeah, but I think the one constant is that it's always Palo.
Yeah.
So,
and that's why they're the better program.
And like I predicted at the beginning of the year when I had Palo number two in our preseason top 10, this is a Palo Verde team that is motivated to make amends for what happened to them last year. I told you they'd rededicated themselves. This is the hardest they had worked in the offseason, and the reward came. They got paid last Friday. They beat Arborview. They won the Northwest. They get the easier road ahead in the playoffs. And all things are leading to Palo Gorman on Turkey Day weekend, which makes Ray Brewer happy. We mm-hmm. talked earlier today about how my Steelers were playing on Thanksgiving Thursday, and I was going to be off, and I was going to watch the game on my new sofa. And then on Saturday, I get the high school game that I love, Palo Gorman. I love the pageantry. I love the rivalry. I love the history, despite last year's absolute killing by Gorman of Palo. Mm-hmm. Destroyed him. Scored 70. That's
so,
a lot. That's 10 touchdowns.
And I did say, I think last week, that Gorman was going to destroy them again. I still believe Gorman wins easily, but might be closer than I thought. I got to say, I was impressed with Palo on Friday. 21-7 against Arborview. To look back at the game, I know you were gung-ho they were going to win. But did you think they were going to win this big? I mean, this is a pretty
There was not one doubt in my mind that Palo was going to win. I told you, remember when Arbor smoked Coronado and you were on your Arbor high for a little bit, and we had the argument right here, and I said if they go out in the parking lot right now, Palo, it was after Palo had got lost to Green Valley and Arbor smoked Coronado, I said we go right outside in the parking lot and Palo beats Arbor 10 out of 10. I knew. I saw it in the kids' eyes when they were talking about it this summer.
I just thought defensively Palo really impressed me. I didn't come away from their first game thinking they were the first game I saw mm-hmm. them this year that they were that good defensively. And they really shut down what Arborview was trying to do. Arborview's one touchdown came when Palo fumbled at like the 16-yard line maybe. Mm-hmm. So Arbor punched it in from there. But other than that, man, they have some real standouts on that defense. I know we've talked about Ortal all year, and then I said after the first game I saw that he makes every tackle. Well, someone different this week, it was Josh Hamilton literally was in on every tackle. I mean, it was ridiculous. The kid had a huge game. A few other guys, Griffin Kemp, I know, was really big for them. And I know I'm missing other guys, but those are a couple. That really
Your boy, Michael Hughes.
Oh, yeah, Michael Hughes. Well, he deserves his own talk about. He was the ringleader of me getting just absolutely caustic. You know, after every game I come in here and there's, like, a kid I just love, and I'm like, I want that on my football team. That this week is Michael Hughes. He joins the group of, like,
Chris Lally.
Chris Lally, Josh Santiago for Green Valley. I don't even know how to vocalize. Here's the thing about Michael Hughes is you have a lot of these kids. I think it's from me, and I hate talking about myself. I feel self-important a little bit, whatever. When I played high school football, I was definitely not one of the best players on my team. I mean, we had like six D1 guys. We've got who's in the NFL now. I was like, I was a starter both ways. I was decent, but I wasn't one of the best players. But I'll tell you what I was, no question, had the most of. I was the most passionate guy. I was going nuts. The highlight of my high school career was when I just made a huge hit on the sideline and celebrated so much that one of the other kids on the other team was like, "What the hell is wrong with this guy?" And that was the quote of my high school yearbook. I don't usually see people that have that much passion that are also like the best player on the team. You hardly ever see that, and I think that Michael Hughes has that. That guy is a monster. He's out there making every play, and then after that he's celebrating, getting everyone pumped up, yelling at me, which I know could be questionable if that's productive, especially when he goes on to play in college. I don't think he's going to be yelling at the beat writers. But still, I just don't think there's hardly any guys that have that mix of talent, passion, like hard work. He said when he was listening to the podcast last week and we said the better program, he like dropped his dinner to go watch more film and lift more weights because he was so mad that I said our review is the better program. I just think that like combination is something you don't get very often, and Michael Hughes has it.
You bring up a good point about watching film, because 2 weeks ago when Canyon embarrassed Las Vegas, they were up 21-0. They kind of knew what Las Vegas was doing it before Las Vegas did it. And Hunky was like, yeah, the huddle accounts. This kid watched 17 hours. This kid watched 16 hours. I'm like, that is a lot of film work, man.
Especially when you're going to school for like 30 hours a week, too.
Whatever. So you're going home and you're staying up and you're watching, you know, the wing attack. How many hours of film did you watch at Wichita Collegiate?
Not that much. That's for sure. I mean, it was kind of a different age. We didn't have it all online or whatever. Like big games, we would get videotapes, but it's not like everyone on the team had
like
one.
Actual cassettes?
Yeah, like actual cassettes. Okay. I mean, this is even before. Now it doesn't seem like that long ago, but it's not even. It was even before DVDs were really like prevalent.
Now everybody has them on Huddle, and you could get it on your phone, your tablet. So you're sitting there at night, you're on Twitter doing the Ask Me app, which drives me crazy. Ask me a question, and another all of a sudden, some one. Now with some kid with like 400 followers has been asked 1,800 questions in a row to drive me crazy. Well, he's asking himself the questions, obviously. But I guess they're sitting there watching film and trying to figure it out.
Yeah, it seems like film studies obviously become a lot bigger part of the high school game, and technology has a lot to do with that. Canyon Springs, you mentioned the film study. We'll talk about that game, too. That was probably the other best game of the week, Canyon and Coronado. Maybe they were studying some film of Coronado because they beat them again 12-7, I believe, was the final. Savionte Stevenson. Just becoming an absolute star. I mean, we kind of expected he would get to this level at the beginning of the year, that he was just going to get better, but he pretty much carried the team, it seemed like, on Friday offensively. Defensively, they played a great game.
And that's why, and I don't want to get to the picks, but I think that's why Canyon could give Liberty some fits, because I think this team is built for the playoffs. They always play close games. They play good defense. They have athletes. And they know how to shorten the game in the playoffs with their running style. Maybe I'm wrong, but my humble opinion.
Well, I mean, Stevenson also took, I think, a 99-yard kick return or 100-yard kick return. It helps if you get a special teams play like that if you're trying to upset Liberty. One thing that did absolutely drive me crazy in this game, and you probably saw me
the
complaining
Arbor
about
game?
It on Twitter. No, Canyon Coronado. We'll come back to Arbor. Okay. We can't not finish that game without at least mentioning Parker Ross, who just had another huge game. But Canyon Springs, speaking of huge games, Jackson Kofer gets hurt, can barely walk, but stays in the game because he's just that tough. They have third or fourth and goal from like the 4-yard line. He runs in a touchdown.
This is when they're down 12-7?
12-7 with like 5 minutes left. Runs in a touchdown. Looks like they scored. They throw a penalty for holding. Now, normally in a high school football game, I would just say, oh, wow, whatever, they held. But TV, of course, it was on TV. I was at home watching it after the Palo game. They rewind like three times. There was no holding there. How do you just ruin kids' seasons? There's seniors on this team that can't play anymore. They scored. I'm not even saying they would have won. They weren't stopping Canyon afterwards. Stevenson looked like he could get as many yards as he wanted, so maybe Canyon goes down and scores anyway. But what a horrendous call. The holding that they were saying on TV that they called, which might have been it, had absolutely nothing even to do with the play. It was a kid already in the end zone when Jackson Kofor had already crossed the plane. I can't believe that I couldn't believe my eyes. Just how can you decide a game that much on a not even marginal to me call? It was not a hold.
Yeah, every week everybody seems to have a complaint about the officials.
And we're pretty good on here. We don't usually complain about the officials. Yeah. This is probably like the second time this year. But this one was on TV, the biggest game of the year, win or go home, as you'd like to say. And
turn in your pads. I love that.
Or turn in your pads. And guess what? And Coronado just gets, I think, a terrible call to go against him.
I just feel
for those guys, especially Kofor, who can't walk, runs in a touchdown, and he gets a call back for a non-existent holding call because some guy in black and white is having.
Was it on fourth down?
I think it was on fourth down.
So then they had to replay from like the 15 or whatever.
Yeah.
And they didn't score, obviously.
They didn't score.
Well, it's about time those kids from Canyon got a call to go their way.
Wow.
as Hunky would say.
I said, Canyon may have won anyway. I wouldn't have been surprised at all. But just how do you call that there?
Yeah.
It was a disgrace. It was a straight disgrace.
And I'm sure Mark Ratner's heard from it already.
Well, hopefully. I mean, if Coronado reviewed the film. If someone at Coronado wants to come forward and text me and tell me, oh, I watched the film we did hold, then that's fine. I'll drop it and I'll issue an apology to the refs next week.
Give your cell number out at least. 218-6000.
All right, yeah, 218-6000. Sure.
Text Kiefer.
Yeah. Well, if you're from Palo Verde, don't text me because I can't take any more abuse.
That's how I am most weeks. You know, and that's why sometimes it's tough to be on the sideline. Listen to this. Vegas High hates when I'm on the sideline there because they seem to always lose when I'm there. So I covered their game this past week, Vegas at Basic. I stayed on the Basic sideline because I didn't want to get in the way.
Yeah, that was the problem. Maybe I should have been on the R-Review sideline since clearly I was a pro R-Review heading into the game.
Do you try – when you cover a game, do you usually stay on the same side or do you flip – and do each side?
Usually flip, but Friday was a little bit different. I was really flustered getting to the game. From here, it took me an hour and 29 minutes to drive to our review.
Yeah.
On 15, there were like four wrecks. A friend of mine at a rival publication, the Review Journal, was there too, and it took him he got there like 5 minutes before me, but he got off the 15 and drove like down Sahara and up to the 95. It took him like an hour and 20 minutes. It was just absolutely brutal. So I was flustered. I ran in right before kickoff, and just the whole game I stayed on the Palo side.
Okay. I usually try to do half on each team. And then at the end of the game, I go to the team that's winning, obviously.
Yeah, makes sense.
LasVegasSun.com is where you find all the coverage. Fired up to bring it to you. I guess we should talk about the Sunrise.
Sure.
Foothill was leading Green Valley 31-28 late in the third, and the next thing you know, it's 56-31 final.
It was stunning to me when I saw it was that close, having seen both of these teams. I thought Green Valley should have a pretty easy time.
I thought they should too. Here's the deal with Green Valley. You can't change you can't change who you are this late in the season. Green Valley's a second half team. They always think that they have a rally in them because they've done it so many times before. And maybe it's because they're better than teams and they just wear them out in the second half.
Maybe.
Answer that however you want if you're a Green Valley fan, but
it could be a problem against Vegas this week.
Yeah, because I'm on the Vegas sideline. The Vegas Basic game, which got over a little quick because Vegas killed them. And they were like, oh, all right, we got Green Valley next, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, Foothill's up 31-28. And the coach was like, oh, don't worry. Everybody was like, oh, don't worry. Green Valley's going to win. They always figure a way to win at the end. And they do. It's Green Valley.
That's pretty true. Yes, like you said, 56-31. Vegas 63-24. What's going on there? Is the Canyon Springs defense just – I know they're great, but are they just that good that they can totally shut down Vegas 1 week and the next week they score 63?
Okay. Vegas is a team that needs – that when they're running well, they get some confidence and some swagger, and when they're running bad, they kind of run the other way. And Canyon had them so flustered and so confused that they were out of their rhythm. And then this week, this past week against Basic, they had their rhythm. They were going at pace. Trevor Swenson was completing some passes. The kid threw for 7 touchdowns. He was like Peyton Manning. The week before, you know, he was like the backup for, you know, the Jaguars. He couldn't complete anything. Now, all of a sudden, Zane and Banks here, Zane and Banks there. Bam, 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 touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. They didn't even really have to run the ball that much.
And I know it does have a lot to do with the defenses. I mean, Canyon Springs defense obviously a lot better than Basics, but obviously Vegas was had their minds a little bit more right. We're more well prepared.
Yeah, and they were real
in this game.
They were real focused on stopping Antre, and Antre got a few, but for the most part, he didn't do much. So good job by the Vegas defense. They came to play. And one thing led to another, and Vegas just destroyed them. It was the Vegas team that I saw get that big lead against Green Valley that I texted you, and I'm like, wow, I think Vegas could beat Liberty.
It was that. Wow, I kind of want to
see. When Vegas is good, bro, they're good.
If Vegas plays Liberty, you're probably going to pick Vegas to win another year, aren't you?
Remember my song, the first time they played, and it was like Hassan Henderson's senior year? I had the Vegas Rocks the
I
house.
I think it was his junior year.
Vegas Rocks.
I feel like that game was at Vegas. The next year they played at Liberty.
Yeah. Oh, and you covered the game and Liberty just destroyed them, right?
Yeah, I've covered both. I covered 2 years in a row.
The one at Vegas you covered.
Yeah, and Liberty destroyed them. Then the next year, I think Henderson's senior year, they went to Liberty. A little more competitive, but Liberty still won easy.
Yeah. Why does Liberty and Canyon play every year in the playoffs?
Just programs. Just good – I mean, I think they're just I think they're just at a higher level right now than maybe some of their rivals.
Okay, let me give you this theory, and I'll let the listeners at home tell me if I'm crazy or not. Okay, everybody loves Hunky, right?
Oh, he was so great talking about this Liberty game.
He's awesome.
I'm like, well, doesn't it mean something to you, you know, that you've been in this position, won a playoff game, I think now 3 of the last 4 years, the program's in a pretty good spot. He's like, that'll get you fired where I come from in Texas. I don't care anything about the moral victories. We got to beat Liberty one of these years. So that was great.
Anytime I have something big to do in my life, I'm going to call Hunky for a little motivation. Because he gets you fired up to play. Now, wouldn't it be – now, we all know Hunky, great guy. He does a lot for the kids down there in that community over there, some underprivileged kids at Canyon, to say the least. Don't you think that – And tell me if I'm wrong, and the Liberty people, Morocco's going to kill me when I say this, but don't you think that finally Hunky, his kid AJ's a senior, a great player, one of the leaders of their defense, don't you think it's Canyon's time to finally get over that Liberty hurdle? They play great defense. They've played great defense. These group of kids have played together with AJ their whole lives, and that this is the time. This is the one time they beat Liberty. Foot in the sand, here we go.
Yeah, I mean, I do think this is the group that if it's going to happen, it probably needs to happen now.
But don't you think the end of the story needs to be written like this? They finally get through after years of close losses?
They got to beat them at some point.
Right.
I agree. The thing is, you said you're going to offend Liberty. Now I'm going to offend Canyon Springs. I've been at a bunch of those games, too, a bunch of the Liberty Canyon Springs games. I've seen at least 2 of them, maybe 3. And to me, they were always close in score, but I never would get the sense that Liberty was going to lose. Liberty would do Liberty things and make stupid mistakes to keep Canyon in the game.
And we all know what those Liberty things are, and I just think maybe this Canyon team's a little more advanced.
And they could capitalize on
it. Last year, weren't they inside the 20 like 6 times and they didn't score?
Canyon?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't remember last year's game that well. I look at it. I mean, like I said, all the games have been like a touchdown or 2 touchdowns, but I just never got the sense that Liberty was going to lose.
Okay, I've seen the Canyon defense up close, and I don't think Liberty can run on the Canyon D. But obviously, Liberty's passing on everybody this year. Do you think the fact that the Canyon secondary with somebody like Cooper leading the way, do you think they could frustrate the Liberty passing attack to stay in the game? Which I haven't seen Liberty pass good yet. I mean, the game I saw from Liberty, I've seen Liberty once, their first game of the year. They obviously got beat pretty good.
They say that doesn't count, by the way.
Okay.
When I said, well, we had been to one of your games, like, oh, that doesn't count. That was the first game of the year. We're a totally different team now.
Okay. Well, they are. They're good.
For the record.
Hats off to Liberty. They're great. You've saw them in person once, right?
Yeah, I think that they're the
best. And you've seen Canyon play, right?
Yeah, and that, maybe that's my problem is why I can't commit to Canyon having that good of a chance here. Is I've seen Canyon a couple times, the second of which was Green Valley, where I repeat myself every week, but they did not have one stop the entire game. I think there's one turnover from Green Valley, and every other time Green Valley either got a field goal or scored. And it's because they were throwing all over him. It's because Larry Norman was getting 9 yards a carry. And I think Liberty, in some ways, is like a better version of what Green Valley did.
Oh, you're calling Liberty's offense better than Green Valley?
If Liberty and Green Valley play, there's no – I will kill the suspense right now. I'm picking Liberty.
Is that the game we want?
That's the game I want. I
think that's the game everybody wants to see, right?
Well, but I really wanted to see it before I saw Liberty. Now that I saw Liberty, I think Liberty is quite a bit better.
Okay, but we all want – I'm trying to prove a point here. We all want Liberty-Green Valley, right? It would be the game of the week.
Yeah.
Right?
So what's the point you're trying to prove?
Well, what did we want 3 years ago in basketball?
I don't think that has much.
We never get the game we want, Case, if you've learned anything.
All right.
Right?
Last year we wanted Arborview Liberty.
Well, yeah, we're never going to get that. Okay. You want to get on with the picks, or do you want to give a shout-out to those dogs? The dogs! What Centennial.
Dogs? Oh, Centennial beating Legacy. What about the – you're going to just totally skip the Division 1A semifinals? Wow, I thought that's where you're going with that.
Well, we can get to them, right, too.
Right, no respect. No respect for Moapa
Valley. No, I'm just saying that Centennial down 17-0 against Legacy comes back and wins – takes the 2 seed, Centennial peaking late. They've got a lot of great younger players. At one point, I made a crazy comment, Case. Crazy. Do you want me to repeat it? Because I don't think you remember.
Sure.
I said, if anybody in this town is going to beat Gorman, big, strong, physical, well-coached, well-talented, 4-time state champions, 7 straight Southwest titles, haven't lost to a local team since 08, haven't lost a regular season game since 06. If anybody was going to beat Gorman, it was going to be Centennial. And some people think I'm crazy.
That's insane.
Why?
This year?
Not this year. Eventually.
Oh, eventually? Okay.
Yeah, eventually. Like, they're going to be the team that does it.
Well, I think that the biggest argument, the point you can argue the best is they're going to get to play it more often.
Yeah, but in the playoffs,
every year.
Yeah, they are. I mean, but Paolo and Arbor play them every year in the playoffs either way.
Yeah, I don't know.
But they got a league game until they realign again, and who knows what will happen then. But
I mean, I would absolutely – I think Liberty is the right answer for the second-best team right now, but they're not going to get to play them every year.
Let me see if I could get a score real fast of the Liberty – of the Centennial Gorman freshman game. Just for my personal reference, I want to know.
All right.
But shout out to Leon Evans and his staff for what they did. You don't fall behind by 17 against a good team and come back and win. And they were able to do that.
And that's huge to get the home playoff game. That's the difference between playing Arborview at their stadium or
Shadow at your place.
Yeah, or Shadow at your house. So that's huge.
Exactly. And you're in an easier bracket because I'd rather play Paolo in the next round than Gorman, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was a big, big win for them. Kind of a slight upset. I knew Centennial had a chance, but Legacy had such a good year, and now they slip down to that 3 line and have to play at Arborview, which, I mean, that's got to be that's kind of devastating.
Way.
I mean,
it's devastating. You got that.
You
exactly
made your
right.
season partly by beating Arborview 7-0. And then what you did against Gorman. But then to drop this game to Centennial in what looked like this could be – I mean, Legacy had that one great team that won the division, but this looked like it could potentially be the best team in school history. Now you might not even make it out of the first round of the playoffs.
Amen. Preach. Preach, Kiefer.
All right.
Division 1A.
Yeah, I wanted to at least give a shout. No wonder you were trying to cover it up because you sat here and guaranteed me Desert Pines would win. As I told you, Faith Lutheran – you keep sleeping on them, keep picking against them. They keep winning.
Yeah, we and I say we as in Desert Pines because I picked them. They were up 21-6. Faith, they keep coming back and fighting. you got to give Vernon a lot of credit. The guy has some work in motivational speaking, and he definitely has found a way to motivate the kids. He's always been saying since the summer, and I follow the guy on Twitter, we will win. And I think the kids actually believe that they're going to win, and now they got as good of a chance to win state as everybody else because they host a semifinal game at home. And his thoughts are coming true. We will win. It seems simple. We will win. And at first when he says we will win, Case, I'm thinking, well, this is Faith Lutheran, you know?
You told me I was crazy for saying they'd make the playoffs at the beginning of the year.
Did I say for the playoffs?
I think you didn't pick them to make the playoffs, right? Or maybe the four seed.
I don't know. With Klein, I probably had them better than Clark.
Okay. Well, you basically I said they were going to be good, and you called me crazy.
I did. You were right on Faith. I was wrong. We will win. How catchy that is. It shows you that when you believe, good things will happen. It's all believing in yourself, right? Vegas got smacked in the mouth by Canyon Springs. They did not believe that they could move the ball on Canyon Springs. They lost. The next week, they knew they could beat Basic. They believed they could beat Basic. They scored 60-some points, and they beat Basic, right? Mm-hmm. It's all belief. Why do you think
I don't think it's all belief. If Rancho believes they're going to win a game, they're still not going to win.
Bro, trust me. Rancho ain't believing they're going to win. They know.
Even if they do, they ain't going to win.
They know mentally. They could say, we're going to go smack them in the mouth, but they know they're going to get smacked. Now, do you think that when people line up to play Bishop Gorman, even Paolo, that they believe they could win?
Paolo this year I think is going to. I think Legacy did this year. And they lost by 13.
Well, and they played well.
They played really well.
Okay.
I also think more than belief, it has to do with just the way these kids have played all year. We know about Keenan Smith, Vinny DeGeorge, Jacob DeVille. How about the biggest producer on Friday was Fabian, who I'm going to mispronounce his name.
Of course
sorry.
You are, Case.
Fabian Laguidi had 200 rushing yards. Just unbelievable the kind of production they're getting out of. I mean, it's a different guy every week, and I think that's always a winning formula.
I agree with
you. High school football. And, of course, the other team from down here that made it this far is the one we all expected, Moapa Valley. Really close game against Virgin Valley. Ended up winning by a touchdown.
Probably one of the better games of the week. Moapa Valley is always there. And this year, their road gets significantly more difficult because they've got to travel up north this week to face Churchill County. I still like Moapa to win state. Getting past Virgin Valley was a good win from them. And how about that defense? Because Virgin's offense could put up some points. Mm-hmm. Moapa Valley shut them down.
This is they did. I mean,
very great effort by the Moapa D. Forget about everything else. The D limited a pretty good Virgin Valley offense to, what, a touchdown and a half, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
Yeah, I mean, a very, very good job. Moapa, though, this was the position they didn't want to be in. We talked about when the D1A playoffs were starting. They did not want to have to go up north. They were rooting against Faith Lutheran. Faith Lutheran, though, didn't help them out at all. Played as well as they have all season. So Moapa is the team that has to go up north, which traditionally is where you pick Vegas teams to lose almost every year.
You have to
hold on and see if you did it this week when we get to the picks. So.
Yeah. I mean, in last year, Cheyenne arguably, if you played on a neutral field, would have won the state title. They went up. They played Truckee. They lost at the end, and then Truckee came down here and blew my theory out of the water and destroyed Moapa, which, of course, they destroyed 4 years in a row.
Well, I wish we knew a little bit more about these North teams. I wonder if they can throw, because to me it seems like Moapa might be a little vulnerable against the pass. They gave up 350 yards or so to Virgin against the pass. We know Faith can pass it a little
bit.
Bend
but don't break. They didn't give up the touchdowns, though, baby.
Okay, well, that's a whole other discussion. We aren't going to get into that. Yards mean something.
Okay.
Just because they didn't give up a touchdown doesn't mean that they are great against the pass.
Okay. Well, when they give out the trophy for the team with the most yards, let me know.
Whatever. I'm not even going to have this discussion with you. You can't score points without gaining yards.
I thought, what if you fumble on the one every time and you punch it in? You got 5
yards. Yeah, that counts. Guess what? That's not going to help you stop the pass.
I mean, we're not going to discuss
it. Is Faith Lutheran going to drop the ball every time if they play in the state championship?
What about when Gorman and Bonanza played and Gorman had like 14 touchdowns on 16 plays or something because they got the ball
inside? Because Bonanza wouldn't punt. Is Faith Lutheran going to do that in the championship game?
Faith Lutheran, you're right. You're right. I'm wrong.
I'm just saying it means something that they gave up that much passing yards. This is a great team, best team, ranked number one in the Division 1A for a reason. I'm with you. But so you gotta be kind of nitpicky to find out flaws, but I'm thinking it could be a flaw that maybe they can get thrown on a little bit.
Moapa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Perhaps.
Perhaps they can. With that said, it might be cold up there. It's tough to throw in the cold, right?
Well, I was talking more about a potential matchup with Faith.
Okay.
But yeah. Okay. Okay, we'll get to the picks.
Then no way I'm picking Faith over Moapa.
I'm just saying it's possible. It
okay,
might not
but
be
I
as far fetched as we believed at the beginning of the year.
But I do wish that they play so we could go cover the state game. Does that make sense?
Because it'll be here.
It'll be here.
If not, it's up there no matter what.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's start the picks. Vegas and Green Valley.
Vegas and Green Valley. Okay. Here we go, Keith. Last year, let me take you back to last year. What happened to Green Valley? Case, remind me.
Great season, won the league, lost in the second round to Coronado.
Exactly. A Coronado team that they had to rally to beat the first time they played.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to 2013. Vegas dominating Green Valley. Green Valley, if you're Vegas, you're saying got lucky to come back and beat you. They had some good fortune. I think Vegas is the better team a month ago. I think Vegas will be the better team on Friday. And I think Vegas pulls a Coronado and eliminates Green Valley in the semifinals. I see a lot of parallels. I think it's lining up. I talked to the Vegas team on Friday, and they are very, very motivated to make amends for what happened. I think they're the team with the more motivation. And I think that if their offense plays as good as it did against Basic, and if they can remain confident, it's all confidence with these guys, I think they got a chance. Go ahead, tell me
so
what
who
you
are you
like.
Picking?
Vegas, the right. Kitty Cats, baby, all day.
All right, well, then when you threw me off when you said they have a chance.
Well, they're the underdog, right?
I got you. Yeah,
okay, yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I wanted to pick Vegas here, too. I think they got a great chance.
Pick them. Pick the right team. Don't pick against me because
I want to see Green Valley Liberty.
I want to see Green Valley Liberty too.
How about this? I just had a question come through from Tua's dad on Twitter.
When's the show going
to
be up?
Without looking it up, I don't think he expected this to be on the podcast, but it's an interesting question. Without looking it up, guess which team of all remaining North and South D1 and 1A teams have given up the most points this season. I'm not looking it up, and I'm going to guess it's Green Valley. It's got to be someone crazy because he's asking the question. It can't be like
Spring Valley. Is it Foothill? Well, I mean, is it Foothill? I mean, is it Green Valley? Because they've given up. They gave up.
That's
a
what
lot.
I just said.
Oh,
that's what
okay.
I'm guessing.
Because they gave up a lot to Basic, to Canyon, and to Vegas.
I just said I'm guessing Green Valley.
Okay.
We'll have to see if that's right, but I'm kind of strengthening your argument of why I think Vegas has a chance here. Green Valley's defense is flimsy at best. They give up a lot of points. Vegas is going to score on them. I think it's going to be a close game at the end again. How about another game-winning field goal from Connor Perkins? I'm going to go against Vegas. I'm going to take Green Valley, but for the record, I have not looked it up, and I'm guessing it's Green Valley.
Okay. Okay, I'm taking Vegas, too.
All right. I'm taking Green Valley.
Oh, you're taking Green Valley.
Yeah,
okay.
But I'm guessing Green Valley's also given up the most points.
I just, you know me. I have blinders on when I talk about Las Vegas and Desert Pines, so I'm picking Vegas high. It's going to come down to which team plays the better defense.
Exactly, which is why I think you got a good argument if my guess is right. Green Valley's giving up the most points. All right, so we split on that one.
Uh-huh.
Canyon Springs and Liberty.
Canyon Springs at Liberty. We talked about this game earlier in the podcast. I love the Canyon D. I just don't know if the offense could score with Liberty. I think Liberty's eventually going to get its points, and Liberty could overcome being Liberty, as you said. I don't think they're going to be able to run, but who cares? Tyler Newman has been Joe Montana, as I've said 1,000 times. And he throws touchdowns that people I've never heard of every week. So while I think A.J. Cooper could match up good against whomever Liberty's best receiver is, I think the fourth guy might get him in the long run. I like Liberty to win.
I just jumped out of my seat when I saw your score.
It was
I'm very dismayed. You came in here even before talking about the show and were selling me of why Canyon had a chance. And then you made some good points before. And now you're picking them. I don't think they lost by 14 in the last two meetings.
Combined.
How are you picking them to lose by two touchdowns?
At the end, they're going to press and it's going to get away. They might be a pick six or whoever.
All right, whatever. Well, I agree with you, but I just thought that we would be a little bit I thought we'd be a little different on this one, and we could maybe get to our $5 bet down, which I think I'm down $10 now. But obviously not, because I think Liberty is going to win.
What was our $5 bet last week?
It was Palo and Arbor Pickham.
Oh, yeah. Money in the bank.
That was easy for you. You should have pushed for more than $5 because I liked my Arbor View.
I had that one. That one's locked up. Okay. Legacy at Arbor View.
Speaking of Arbor View.
They played earlier this year. I don't even know what the name of that game is. Battle of the Bulls or the Horns. I get it wrong every time. Legacy prevailed 7-0, held the Arbor View to 0 points, dominate them defensively. Nehemiah Lane and friends got through seemingly at will. I just don't see it happening again. I think that Legacy is a great team, bad matchup. I think Arbor's motivated. It's at their house. They get it done.
Yeah, I could see Legacy doing it again. You mentioned they shut down Arbor's offense.
I could see them doing it again, but
Arbor's offense was a wreck against Palo, as I said. Just really didn't look that great.
Listen, it's two teams that, let's be honest, are coming in with no momentum. Legacy that's shocked to give up a big lead and lose to Centennial, and Arbor, which quite frankly got beat up a little against Palo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two teams. Whoever lose, we could say, okay, well, they weren't feeling too good about themselves, but I don't know which team that could be.
I can't believe Legacy is going to be out in the first round of the playoffs, but I think that's going to happen. I think Arbor View is going to be real motivated to kind of avenge this loss, which they only lost by a touchdown despite playing pretty poorly. I think if they just make a little bit of improvements from that game, this is there, so I'm going to go Arbor View too.
Okay.
Spring Valley and Bishop Gorman. This one's probably going to be ugly. Kudos to Spring Valley for making the playoffs.
Shout out. Well done, men.
I know they're real fired up. This would be the space where you, for the last 5 years, talk about Spring Valley being the last team to beat Gorman, but apparently that's not true.
Yeah, apparently Sierra Vista was the last team to beat Gorman. But Spring Valley beat them in the same season. So
okay.
In 06, somehow Gorman lost twice in league play, and those two teams were Spring Valley and Sierra Vista.
Not happening this year.
No. But shout out to Spring Valley and shout out to Coach Marcus. Did a great job. Took them on that roadie to Idaho. The kids had a great year. Cherish the moment. Playoff game at Gorman. Have fun. Those kids that get brought up from the lower levels, see what it's about under the Friday night lights. Right?
Right.
All righty.
Shadow Ridge and Centennial.
It's a Shadow Ridge team that has a winning record that is physical. I've talked to two coaches that's played Shadow, and they said they were shocked at how Shadow smacked them around a little bit. Henderson, say the other kid's name.
I'm going to need to get it in front of me.
Yeah, you're better with the names than I am. Centennial may be a little too happy with the way it beat Legacy. Centennial's the hot team, bro. I'm trying to talk myself into Shadow putting up a fight in this one. I think it's going to be darn close. I just think Centennial's on fire right now. Give me the dogs.
What if Centennial went Dustin Puya? Is that who you're talking about?
Puya. Puya.
What if Centennial wins and then plays Palo? That's a dangerous game.
It's a great game because the first
they could win and then prevent your favorite game in the world from happening.
If they did,
they lost by a touchdown. They could beat them,
dude. It was so windy that day. The game doesn't even count.
It is not without the realm of possibilities.
It's not outside the realm, but I think the whole 702 HSFB community wants Palo Gorman. Not just Brew.
I'm not saying it's not.
I even think Centennial wants to see the game.
No, my argument isn't about who wants to see it. My argument is it could not happen. Centennial doesn't want to see it. They don't give a. They could care less.
Remember,
they don't care.
Remember,
they couldn't care less.
Remember 2 years ago, Parker's sophomore year, when Centennial, they needed like Parker to have a miracle play on the end of the game just so we could get the Gorman-Palo game. It was on TV.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, well, nonetheless, I think Centennial Palo would be close.
Yeah, exactly. I think that would be a great game, and I also think it's what we're going to see because I'm picking Centennial, and I'm also picking Palo Verde over Cimarron in the next game. Parker Ross, I said we had to come back to him later in the podcast. Last week, throws a touchdown, runs for two more. He was their best running option against Arborview. His dad, Coach Darwin Ross, said all week when they're driving to school, when they're coming back to school, when they're at practice, he would tell him, I want the ball in this game. I want the ball in the big situations in this game. He got it all night. He converted almost every third down where he ran. Like I said, he had all those touchdowns. It was really a special performance from him. And after seeing that, seeing how well he clicked with the offense, I have to pick him to beat Cimarron.
Okay, and I just got the score of the Centennial Gorman freshman game. Gorman 35-7, so my theory might be done because
that takes a hit.
Well, Gorman's best freshman, Alex Perry, is a varsity player. He scored two touchdowns last week. So imagine if that kid was in the game.
Yeah.
Okay, so nonetheless, nobody's going to beat Gorman ever. But we'll talk about the other game, Lowry at Faith. Admittedly, Case, I don't know much about Lowry or Churchill County, whom Moapa Valley's playing. But I do know that Lowry has a three near 1,000-yard rushers, and I do know that they were young last year when they traveled down to the to Southern Nevada to play Moapa. I think that experience gives them the victory. I'm taking Lowry. I know you're picking Faith. To be honest, I don't feel great about this, but I do like the fact that Lowry has a three-headed monster at tailback, including the coach's son. And I like the fact that Lowry has some experience, which Faith, of course, doesn't have. Go ahead and tell me why I'm wrong.
I don't know that you're wrong. I don't know too much about Lowry. I'm just wondering, are you picking him to lose 30-0?
I forgot to put the Faith score in there. I'm going to give Faith a few points.
All right. So you don't think Faith is going to get shut out?
No, I'm going to give him 21 or 22.
Look, what was the saying that you were saying Vernon keeps using on Twitter?
Whatever? We will win.
We will win. Believe it. Why can't you just believe in this team? You pick against them over and over and over. I think they deserve someone to believe in them. That's why I'm picking them.
They believe the 24 kids on
their
roster.
They've won 10 or 11 games in a row or something.
They've done great, and they're hosting a home game. It's all setting up well. I mean, if at this rate, listen,
I know Lowry's real good. They beat Churchill County, who's the other northern team left, a couple
by,
weeks
by
ago.
By a touchdown.
By
right.
a touchdown. I know they're good, but I just think Faith Lutheran, it just feels like their year. I mean, they're just on a magical run. They're one of the best stories, I think, in Southern Nevada high school football this year. And I'm not picking it to end just yet.
Okay. I can't dispute that, but I do pick Lowry. Okay. Moapa Valley at Churchill County. I picked Moapa to win state at the beginning of the year, and to be honest with you, this game makes me a little uneasy. I hate the fact that they have to travel up there. I know the Moapa players have traveled before. They've been down to the Sullenberger twice, the key players on this team. They're used to packing up the bus and going from Overton, wherever, on game day. They're organized, they're structured, they're going to get up north in time. But listen, it's cold there. Who knows what's going to happen? It is what it is.
Yeah, I think I agree with all your points. I mean, it's not easy to go play up north. Churchill could be better than we expect even. I wouldn't be surprised at all. But we have kind of talked about how good Moapa is all year, so that this is their year. It's tough to pick against them at this point. So I think we're going to be in agreement here to think Zach Hymus, Matthew McDermott, who else they got? All those guys are going to be on their A game. They're going to battle the cold.
Is cold, who knows? I mean, afternoon game, it could be sunny and you got to wear sunscreen.
Well, whatever it is, battle the travel. I think they're going to win.
Okay. Not that you care, but since we're talking, that Gorman Centennial freshman game was scoreless at the half, and Centennial scored first to go up 7-0. Then, of course, Gorman ran back the kickoff after the touchdown, scored 35 straight to close it out.
What a strange game.
Yeah, the gap isn't, I guess, that big, but it still is big. I'm still sticking with it.
All right.
I mean, Gorman is not going to win the next 40 state championships.
No, but they might win the next 10.
They might. With that said, apparently, I have to look this up, but apparently they're playing for the first five in a row since like WW1. Anyways, we'll confirm that when he gets closer to actually write a real story about him, when they're not playing a team like Spring Valley, who is happy to be there, young team, going to make some noise next year.
Prep Sports Now, thanks for listening. Remember, zero teen fatalities program.